Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's Major Asset Class Review from April the 24th, 2024. My name is David Clark. I'm one of the analysts here at NASDAQ, Dorsey Wright, and taking a look at the performance of the indices we follow on the video here. We saw international equities technically lead the way with EFA up over 2%. Dow Jones Industrial Average led U.S. equities up over 1.8%. They're also seeing EEM up over 1.8%. We did see the NASDAQ Composite, NASDAQ 100 down over percent, and did see broader commodities along with the dollar finish in negative territory. Looking at the U.S. equity charts this morning, we did see the Dow Jones Industrial Average reverse back into X's following Monday's action. Also saw the Russell 2000 as well as the NASDAQ 100 do that as well. Those each have technically moved to sell signals and have now moved back into a column of X's. But worth a brief shout out that we've seen momentum for the Dow Jones Industrial Average weekly momentum, that is, stay negative for 16 weeks now. A little bit extended compared to averages. This is the longest period of negative weekly momentum we've seen since June of 2012, when it was at roughly 17 weeks of negative weekly momentum. Prior to that, looking further back, we have to go to March 2007 to see similar periods for the Dow showing negative weekly momentum. So a bit interesting there. As far as the S&P 500, along with the NASDAQ Composite and Russell 1000, they did reverse back into X's following yesterday's action. For the S&P 500, we did see that it put in a higher bottom there at 49.60 and ultimately maintained a buy signal. As far as bullish percent charts go, we did see the bullish percent for the NYSE fall to this 50% level over the past week, suggesting that right around half of the stocks within the NYSE are trading on point and figure buy signals. Also saw the bullish percent for the NYSE move to that 50% level as well. Also saw the positive trend for the S&P 500 PTSPX reverse down following Thursday's action there at 70%, suggesting that we're starting to see some stocks move into a negative trend. As far as action within Dolly, have continued to see commodities pick up. Tally signals here, 13 over the past week, bringing that total number up to 43 for the month of April, taking five from domestic equities, or rather domestic equities lost five over the past week, international lost four. We also saw the lower asset classes lose a couple there as well. Under the hood of domestic equities, notably saw technology drop about nine signals over the past week, while we saw financials and basic materials pick up three and eight signals respectively. Under the hood of international, I've started to see Latin America shed some signals, and then under the hood of commodities, have seen industrial metals move to that top position within commodities as copper and aluminum prices have rallied to near-term highs. But that wraps up what we wanted to talk about this week, so stay tuned next week for what we'll cover over this coming week.
Welcome to the Group Score Minute. I'm Steve Raymond. Let's recap the top line indications. As we move further into April, keep in mind, technically, this is the last call for April before we enter May. Our primary indicators are holding very close to where they've been through the month. I'll point out that the core percentile rank is still in a very high dominant position, and the bullish percent of all equity funds around the world still holding, even under market pressure over the last 10 days here at chart levels, chart high levels. Which is pretty good news. The core of the market is held up under strain. As we consider the groups score above three and score above four, we upticked a little bit on both sides. We still have a healthy amount of scores above four. They're color blue here. I will point out, we even have some new high scores relatively. Industrials, financials, continue to move higher. Very impressive. So we do have a pretty strong constituency above the score four. As we take a look at our U.S. international relationships, they remain stable and their spread. Both move down together a little bit in April. Both move up together a little bit here over the last few days. I think the most interesting contrast is this value growth paradigm, where value continues as value has inched higher and higher as we have moved further into April. I would say the scores of the value growth paradigm are equivalent. And so we'll see what happens here as they presumably have touched, and see what happens as we proceed into the close of April. As we take a look at our long-term moving averages, averages and trends, we're still holding in here at recent highs. The moving average component is upticking again. So we still have a northbound indications on a very broad basis all through this particularly soft spot in April. As we take a look inside the core, let's continue to say, well, the momentum and the Q factor have backed off. There was a moment here during the week where there was a singularity between the momentum, Q, and the cap weight factor all reaching the same point. Over the last few days, there's been a significant bounce up by momentum in number one, by the Q long-term growth factor as number two. We even saw a little bit of bounce out of the equal weight. So there's been some responsiveness over the period of the last few days. Net-net, the order of the internal dynamics of the core have not changed. As we step back and take a look at our macro picture, still, some themes are still working as I've mentioned before. The equity is stabilized and starting to uptick again. The commodities crossed above three, which we've been mentioning. It's holding equivalent to that slot, and the fixed income is stabilized in a score somewhere below three here. I do include China from time to time. I mentioned other groups, and it just surpassed kind of a hurdle that it had been trapped in with a score under one for the past 9 months, and we just peaked up out of there as we're about ready to close April. So somewhat significant to keep an eye for those interested in how non-US indices are impacted by this, or personally you're just interested in China as an investment. As we take a look at our April effect that I've been mentioning for a few weeks, April's not necessarily that strong, but it's not that weak either. And here are some of our directional score leaders. We have precious metals at number one. Utilities shoots up big time to get up here in the score directional leaders. Financials move ahead, as I mentioned before. Industrials are climbing the list, as I mentioned earlier in the call. This mix of this tone, commodity-related stocks, small caps, utilities, again, is still different than what we were experiencing back in February. So there is an underlying tone to how we close April and quite frankly, close the so-called seasonally strong cycle of the yearly markets from November through April up to May. Next time, we'll consider what it means to enter into a seasonally weak cycle and if we notice any divergences therein.
This is John Lewis with an update on momentum for April 24th, 2024. So the pullback that we've seen over the last few weeks is really starting to kind of take its toll on some of the momentum indicators that we've been looking at. The top right is that domestic spread, which measures the performance of the leaders or the high momentum names versus the laggards or the low momentum names. It had a really one really bad day last week when a lot of the semiconductor names, a lot of the AI names really underperformed by quite a bit. You can see we had a little bounce back here to start the week, but we've really kind of rolled over here with this spread. So this is not something that means momentum has to be a long-term underperformer from here, but this is going to be a very important indicator to watch as we kind of move through this correction that we're in. If we can grip here and the momentum names start to outperform, that will be an ideal situation, but we'll have to see kind of how that shakes out. On the emerging side, that spread does remain much more resilient than it does domestically or on the developed side of international markets. That emerging market spread remains up there near the highs. That's the one on the bottom right panel. So again, we are finding very good names to buy on the high momentum side in that emerging market space. Now, looking at what these high momentum indexes are doing relative to the broad market benchmarks, you can see that pressure that we're seeing on the domestic side, the top right-hand clip there. Momentum has broken below that 50-day moving average. We did rebound a little bit, but that will be a big test to see if we can move back above that 50-day moving average. So stay tuned for that. We'll keep watching that and keep you updated. Emerging markets are looking a little kind of toppy here, but we'll see how that shakes out as well. So we'll be back next week just to talk about changes that we'll see. We're at really important points here with some of these indicators. So stay tuned and we'll keep you updated next week.
Hello and welcome to our fixed income update for the week of April 24th. My name is Jamie West. Not a lot of action in the fixed income market over the last week. U.S. Treasury yields were mostly flat. After returning to a positive trend last week, the 10-year U.S. Treasury yield index was down slightly, but produced no movement on its chart. Fed futures are also in roughly the same position they were last week. The market is pricing in a rate cut in September and is roughly split between one and two cuts by the end of the year. Taking a look at the asset class group scores fixed income rankings, not a lot of changes there either. Floating rates remain at the top of the rankings, followed by inverse fixed income. Meanwhile, as has been the case for quite a while now, we see most core groups that compose the U.S. aggregate index down in the red zone with scores below 2.5. March PCE data is due out on Friday. This will be the last inflation reading before the next Fed meeting, which is next Wednesday. A hot reading makes it more likely that the Fed will maintain a higher for longer stance or potentially even consider raising rates from here. On the other hand, a low reading, especially one that was in line with a 2% annualized rate of inflation, could help the Fed to move towards easing sometime this year. So all of that to say, a pretty important inflation reading coming this Friday that I think will potentially kind of guide what we see from the Fed next week. But other than that, not a lot of changes in the fixed income market this week, and that will bring me to the end of my review. Thank you for joining me, and I will be back next week to update you on any changes I see over the coming week.
Hi, welcome to this week's Size and Style Review. My name is Joe Tizzolo. Today is April 24th. Looking at the size and style rankings here on the asset class group scores page, really no changes over the last week. Still see a predominantly large cap market here, followed by most of the mid caps and then small caps rounding out the bottom of the size and style rankings here. Now, if we start looking at some individual charts, so XLG is a chart we've mentioned quite a bit, looking at kind of the mega cap space. And this is the more sensitive 25-cent chart. But here we can see the breakdown from earlier this month. It has bounced. Now we'll see if this prior area of support acts as new resistance. I think that's going to be the main thing to watch out for over the next few days, and you know, maybe week or so, is if we are able to stay below that prior support. If we're able to stay below that prior support, it does open up the potential for more downside as a, you know, it's kind of a sign of weakness if old support is acting as new resistance. We see some of a similar chart set up here on the Russell 2000, ticker IWM, teetering on that 3.0 score threshold. And again, we see something similar, you know, breakdown, rally up to close to the old support level. So I'm watching to see if this, you know, again, old support acts as new resistance. One last thing to touch on is just the bullish percent for the S&P 500 that's charting now at 50%. That's its lowest level since early November of last year. So we've definitely seen some breadth decline in the market. Now, 50%, you know, you're looking at about, you know, half the stocks in the S&P are trading on point and figure buy signals. It's not too worrisome just yet. But once you start delving into these lower levels, until you get like sub 30 or so, volatility usually starts to pick up. So I'll be watching to see if this bullish percent indicator continues to decline. With that said, we'll go ahead and wrap up, and we'll be back next week with any more updates.
This is John Lewis with an update on the U.S. dollar for April 24th, 2024. Not much movement in the dollar since we did an update last week. In fact, the dollar did pull back a little bit, but it wasn't enough to even change anything that we're looking at on the point and figure chart. So the trend still remains in an uptrend with a resilient U.S. economy, with rate cuts being kind of pushed back later in the year. That's not too surprising that the dollar does remain in this uptrend here. But the next resistance level is that 107 area. We'll look at that as a critical point for the U.S. dollar. If it can break through that, it'll look like we'll see probably a dollar that's higher for longer. But right now, we're just kind of in this uptrend, but moving sideways within this bigger trading range.
Hello and welcome to our commodities review for the week of April 24th. My name is Jamie West. The S&P GSCI Commodities Index was down 115 basis points over the last week as both precious metals and energy lost steam. There were some notable sell signals on individual charts this week, but first we'll take a look at the continuous commodities matrix. Pretty much the same as we've seen over the last few weeks. Continue to see a couple of agricultural contracts at the top, silver and gold, and then crude oil followed by copper. So a good mix of different areas of the commodities market near the top of the matrix. That kind of contrasts what we saw earlier this year with agriculture really leading the way, but now seeing some strength out of precious metals as well as energy and industrial metals. Taking a look at some individual charts, first up, we have gasoline, which gave a second consecutive sell signal when it broke a double bottom at 268, now sitting against support at 266. You can see from there, we find no additional support until 252, where its bullish support line also currently sits. So a break at 266, could potentially see gasoline fall down into the low 250s. Up next, we have crude oil. Crude has been on a pretty impressive rally recently, giving four consecutive buy signals since the beginning of the year. Did fall to a sell signal over the last week when it broke a double bottom there at $81. We can see from here the next level of support now sitting at 77, where crude's bullish support line also sits. A further decline into the high 70s shouldn't surprise. And there are, the trend line and a level of support here at 77, potentially acting as support there for crude oil. And then finally, also seeing gold fall to a sell signal over the last week. It broke a triple bottom there at 2320 and continued a little bit lower to 2300. Now, this is the first sell signal in a pretty strong uptrend, as you can see. Four consecutive buy signals before we get this sell signal there at 2320. Normally not too concerned about the first sell signal in a pretty strong uptrend. However, as you can see, gold sitting pretty far from the nearest support from 2300 to 2160. We're looking at about a 6% decline till we would hit the next level of support. So, I think that is one potential area of concern for those that may have long exposure to gold is just that we could see a pretty significant decline until we hit that next level of support. At this point, I think all relative strength signs and otherwise, still remaining positive for gold at this point. But that will bring me to the end of my review for this week. I thank you for joining me, and I will be back next week to update you on any changes I see over the coming 7 days.
Morning, everybody. My name is Miles. I'll be going through this week's cryptocurrency review for the week of April 24th, 2024. It was a nice bounce back week for a lot of the coins within the NASDAQ crypto index there. A lot of the larger, kind of more notable names, Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Litecoin were up less notably than some of the other smaller coins, which I think is a positive thing, all things considered. Now, speaking of the more notable coins, Bitcoin did complete its halving over the last week, which means that Bitcoin miners are going to be receiving half the amount of reward or Bitcoin as a reward for additional Bitcoin blocks mined. Said otherwise, we're going to see these kind of miners continue to receive less Bitcoin going forward for the work that they're putting in to mine that Bitcoin. Miners have struggled so far this year. Proxy WGMI is down about 6% so far this year, vastly underperforming Bitcoin. And you take a look at a relative strength chart between WGMI versus Bitcoin, we're sitting at multi-year or all-time lows in terms of that RS relationship, on the verge of posting a third consecutive sell signal here. So again, relative strength still sits in the corner of Bitcoin for the time being. If you take a look at Bitcoin, really saw no technical developments over the last week, but bulls have been keen to defend the 61,000, let's call it 60,000 mark towards the downside. And for an upside range, keep a look at those all-time highs up above at 71,000 for BTC. All right, that'll do it for me here. I hope everyone has a great week. We will be back again next week.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the International Equities Rundown for Wednesday, April 24th. My name is Ian Saunders. We have seen some interesting movement in some of the broader international equities representatives over the course of the past week. Last week's movement saw many of the major areas move a bit lower with the broader global equity space. Looking at the iShares MSCI Emerging Markets ETF, EEM, here first, did reverse down into a column of those, since risen a little bit, currently sitting smack dab in the middle of its 10-week trading band. So still a suboptimal fund score here from EEM, 2.69 score. But nonetheless, we've seen a slight bounce. So it would be interesting to see if we can get a reversal back up into a column of X's, which would occur at 41.50, which would then provide support at that $40 mark moving forward. We'd get the second consecutive buy signal at 42. Looking at developed markets, so a pullback there as well, as we touched on last week. More suitable 3.89 fund score here, but really kind of the same picture. Reversal down, slight bounce, haven't seen kind of too much change from a broader technical perspective with the movement over the past week. Also didn't really see too many changes in the, at least the rankings of the NDW country index matrix. Brazil's continued to lose strength, falling down into the 21st position. The last position in the top half, so sitting down there really close, moving down into the bottom half of the rankings. Other areas that have shown a bit more improvement, India's ticked up a little bit more. Italy is also the biggest improver in the top quartile there. Also want to give a special shout out here to China. So China moved from the 42nd to the 41st position, marking its highest ranking there since November. So still second to last, but it's not last, at least anymore. And I think if you look at the X rank, so the matrix ranking is going to be looking at the buy rank. If you look at the X rank, we continue to see consistent near-term improvement with the broader China representative in that matrix moving to the 12th position by X rank. So even though it's still right toward the bottom by buy rank, seeing that more consistent improvement is a good sign for the space. As we've seen, when it does start to improve, it can have a tendency to get going pretty quick. Looking toward a representative that has shown some of that consistency is the Korean Share CSI China Internet ETF, ticker KWEB. This is a 2.23 again, still suboptimal fund score, but with today's move, we see it giving its third consecutive buy signal up at the $28 chart level. It's the first time it's done that since midway through 2022, so we can see back here. So good to see that kind of consistency carrying over there for China. Again, still unfavorable kind of technical picture currently, but at least that technical picture is improving. So we'd look toward for a further breakout, some potential resistance around the $29 mark. And then you have some other more resistance baked in, but that $29 mark and then the 32 would be the next real notable area of resistance moving forward. Initial support coming in 25.50. So with that, that wraps up what I was looking to touch on here for international. And so we'll be back to touch base with you all next week.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Miles Clark. I'll be going through the industrials review for the week of April 24th, 2024. I just want to start broadly by taking a look at the average asset or the average fund score for the top sectors, as well as the S&P 500 index group over on the asset class group scores page. Now, what we're doing is we're taking a look at that score since on a year-to-date basis here. And while technology has backed off quite a bit, the average industrials fund actually now ranks above the average S&P 500 index fund. So only by 0.01, so the difference is pretty tight, but that resilience we are seeing from the sector makes broad exposure as well as focused exposure a pretty viable option within the sector. Taking a look at that broad exposure by looking at XLI there, it still holds a 5.52 fund score, up about 8% for the year so far. It is close to reversing back down into O's on its default chart here, just below the middle of the trading band, or actually at the middle of the trading band here. The only gripe you might have with this name is the lack of technical support until around that 100 mark for XLI here. All things considered, though, I still think that it is a pretty good option around current levels. All right, moving on over into earnings. Boeing, they popped on the back of their earnings this morning as fears were that things weren't quite as bad as I think people were expecting them to be there. They're up about 2% for at the time of this recording. That coincides with the bounce back up into X's on their default chart. I think this is a decent opportunity to continue to shed exposure to Boeing. Another name there, Lockheed Martin LMT, is a one for fiver that recently moved back into a positive trend on their earnings results. However, it's yet to pick up any additional relative strength or technical attribute in its favor. So again, this is going to be an opportunity to sell the name as we are in heavily overbought territory around current levels. One final name you could look towards is going to be General Dynamics, GD. They are a four for fiver that fell about 5% on the back of their earnings call here recently. If they still pass your fundamental screens, that does coincide with a pullback towards the middle of the trading band around 276. We could see around that 260. That's the bottom of the trading band, and some old resistance from the past few years act as new support in a for a technically strong stock. Okay, that's enough for me here. I'll go ahead and wrap up. I hope everyone has a great week, and we'll be back again next week.
Hello, and welcome to the Technology Rundown for Wednesday, April 24th. My name is Ian Saunders. Seen a lot of movement in the tech sector over the course of the past week. We've seen the broader space drop 9 RS by signals in the DALI sector rankings since last week. Does still sit in the top position at 218 signals, but a lot closer to industrial, sitting just beneath it there, 210. Looking at some of the weakness, it's been more descriptive or more depicted more in the equal weight RSPT. Did move to a sell signal at 3250. So we've seen that happen before back in October of last year. Move down, give sell signal, then rocket straight higher. But nonetheless, some more near to intermediate term weakness there for the broader equal weighted space. That's been depicted in the positive trend for technology, PTEC Tech. Reversed down last week, down to that 32 chart level. Kind of showing a lack of follow through or less participation from a longer term perspective. But we did see the near term participation improve with the 10 week for technology. PWEC Tech fell down to a chart level of 18 and then reversed back up into X's at 26 with movement on Tuesday, the 23rd. The interesting thing to note is most of the time when you get down to low levels, the first reversal higher doesn't ultimately carry you back above 30. We've hit on that before. You can look back historically the past couple of years. It is rare to see that first bounce up ultimately continue to carry you higher. But nonetheless, seeing some near-term improvement here is at least showing some light at the end of the tunnel for this tech decline. Looking at some areas that are showing a little bit more improvement, is one being FICO, F-I-C-O. Moved back to a buy signal after a couple consecutive sell signals with movement today. So it's a strong 5 for 5. It's a name we've hit on a lot. It moved down a little bit closer, slightly oversold territory, and then bounced up today. Could be an interesting name to look toward with their earnings reporting on Thursday, the 25th. Another name that has earnings on the horizon is going to be Microsoft, ticker MSFT. Very consistent technical picture, strong 5 for 5. It also has earnings on Thursday. You're seeing 3 consecutive buy signals, a pullback from highs at 424 down to the 396 level. So pretty favorable looking technical picture, initial support coming in at that 364 point. And then finally, wouldn't be a tech update if we didn't hit on NVIDIA. NVIDIA is a strong 5 for 5 from an attribute perspective, still fell notably last week, as I'm sure everyone saw in the headlines. But here looking at a 2% chart, I think provides some interesting perspective. We've seen this kind of consolidation or a couple consecutive sell signals on this 2% chart before, most notably in that July to October timeframe of last year, before ultimately the stock continued to push higher. So just because it started to move lower, it doesn't mean that that is necessarily the establishment of a new trend. So it's a strong long-term technical picture here, at least for the time being. Initial support coming in around that 760 mark moving forward. And with that, that wraps up what I was looking to touch on here for technology. And so we'll be back to touch base with you all next week.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's Consumer Discretionary Update from April the 24th, 2024. My name is David Clark. I'm one of the analysts here at NASDAQ Dorsey Wright. Over the past week, the consumer discretionary space generally was flat, or at least moved a little bit lower. XLY was down about 36 basis points. Looking elsewhere within the Fidelity MSCI Consumer Discretionary Index ETF here, FDIS, while we saw XLY come down to ultimately return to a sell signal recently and test support, we now just see with the technical picture of FDIS, it's just coming down here to test support here at 76, but has rallied a little bit off that support level there. So worth monitoring there. A reversal back up into X's comes with a move above 79, and that would allow FTIS to maintain that buy signal. So worth keeping an eye on for that particular ETF. As far as earnings news goes, we did see Tesla report, technically missed on most of the metrics, but did say it was going to accelerate the production of an affordable car. Didn't really give many details other than saying it was looking to accelerate that. Stock popped even on that news, up over 10% today, still maintaining that 0 for 5 attribute though. May see some RS chart changes if it continues to rally, but ultimately we still see a low attribute name as it's coming off of recent near-term lows for Tesla. Now, as far as stocks moving higher today from earnings, we see Hasbro, HAS, it also is 0 for 5, but we'll see some positive attribute changes as it's rallied up to the mid-60s here after beginning the day in the upper 50s, moving back into a positive trend, giving a fourth consecutive buy signal for the stock here as it's rallied up to its highest level we've seen since the latter part of September last year. So potentially looking at some attribute pickup there for Hasbro. Elsewhere, we also see Hilton Worldwide, HLT, reporting earnings. They actually had a pretty notable beat and reaffirmed or actually lifted their earnings guidance. So HLT seeing a nice move today, rallying back just above the middle of the trading band there at 208, putting in another higher bottom there at 194. One of the better looking names within the leisure space there. So just keep HLT possibly on a watch list. Now, as far as earnings go upcoming for today, we do see Chipotle coming after the close. O'Reilly and Ford will report this afternoon. As far as tomorrow goes, Amazon, probably the biggest name on the headlining earnings. It is a 5 for 5er currently, reversing up into X's, putting in another higher bottom here at 174. So nice support here in the lower 170s, as well as some there in the mid 160s for Amazon. Also reporting tomorrow, we see American Airlines, Comcast, Southwest Airlines, and Tractor Supply. Also see Royal Caribbean, RCL, reporting earnings. It to a 5 for 5er, recently reversing back into X's here, putting in a higher bottom at 126 there. And with today's action rallying above 138, a move above 142 would be a second consecutive buy signal for RCL there. Also reporting earnings, we see Charter Communications wrapping up this week with earnings on Friday. Up next week, Domino's Pizza and Paramount on Monday, with McDonald's and Starbucks reporting also on Tuesday, right in the thick of earnings. So if you have any particular questions about any stocks within the sector, feel free to give a call at 804-320-8511. We'll be next week for more updates then.
Hey, this is Will with this week's Consumer Staples update. Beginning with a look at its major ranking, no change over the past week. It's still towards the bottom of our sector ranking, so equal weight at most right here. We can see that confirmed on the asset class group scores page, just a different view of the macro sector strength. We're seeing consumer non-cyclicals towards the bottom of those rankings. So again, broad underweight still at this time. However, I think the tone I want to take today is potential for some mean reversion. If you see the average consumer non-cyclicals fund, so staples in red here, consumer cyclicals or discretionary in blue, over the past week, we've seen a convergence of the two average scores, which means the average fund in both of these sectors has come together. Staples have improved, discretionary has softened over the past week. We've seen this before. By no means is this crossing. It's typically crosses are important market inflection points. That has not been the case so far. We are seeing the two move together. That point was furthered on a tweet that we put out yesterday, looking at staples versus discretionary. This is a relative strength chart comparison between two funds. Staples is getting pretty stretched towards the bottom of this relative strength rating, meaning that there is some heightened potential for mean reversion for consumer staples, which would be in favor of consumer staples, which could be a bit of a warning sign for the market. A fund that looks strong right now within the space is FXG. It's got a 3.5 fund score, recently pulled back to a prior area of resistance. Two stocks to highlight today is going to be TAB. They have earnings coming out next week. For currently a four attribute name, top half of the food, beverages, and soap stock sector matrix, also pulled back to a prior high. So overall, I think a strong technical picture heading into earnings. On the other side, you have KDP, Keurig, Dr. Pepper. They're coming out with results tomorrow. So this is going to be Thursday, April 25th. Series of sell signals, lower tops, slightly overbought right now. So overall, not a technically strong picture heading into earnings. That's all I had for this week. I appreciate your time.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Miles. I'll be going through this week's communication services review for the week of April 24th, 2024. We'll try to keep it pretty brief this week by starting with XLC on a more sensitive 50-point chart for XLC. Still does hold a strong 4.78 fund score. And on this more sensitive chart, it is nice to see some nice support emerging around 78.50 to 79, holding above really this $80 mark that we failed to break through a number of times earlier in 2024. A couple of notable earnings releases. Meta, of course, is coming out after close today on the 24th. META is a 5 for 5er there, recently reversing back up into X's towards the middle of its trading band, have run into some resistance up above those all-time highs, they're up above around 528 or so, but things are still looking pretty technically strong as it ranks fourth out of 50 within that internet sector matrix. We'll wrap up here with maybe more a different kind of focus within the communication services group. Spotify, SPOT, they jumped about 15% on the back of their most recent earnings as well. Is another five for fiver, ranks strongly within that media sector matrix. We're zooming out to a 6-point chart here, string of now, let's see, seven consecutive buy signals for Spotify, reversing back down into O's today. But we are, again, journeying out of heavily overbought territory on the back of that earnings call. So again, in a strong position to add Spotify if you're looking to do so here. Okay, that'll do it for me. I hope everyone has a great week, and we will be back again next week.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's utilities update from April the 24th, 2024. My name is David Clark. I'm one of the analysts here at NASDAQ, Dorsey Wright. And overall, the past 1 week roll was a positive one for utilities. We did see XLU up over 5%, leading the way for those spider sector ETFs, that is. We did see XLU reverse back into X's here at 66, rallying up to that resistance level that's been in place since December of last year. Move above 67 would break a spread triple top. We've also seen the fund score of XLU move above that 3 threshold for the first time since September of 2022. So worth keeping an eye on there. If we see further improvement, has a notably positive score direction there. We did see the bullish percent for the broader utility sector BPEC utility continue higher up to near that 50% level, currently sitting at 48% on its chart. We did see the positive trend for the sector, PTEC utility here, reverse back into X's here at 36%. So seeing not only stocks within the utility sector return to buy signals, but shift their trends back to a positive as well. Among those is going to be NextEra Energy, NEE, is a 3-for-5, an increase to that attribute after moving back into a positive trend and reversing back into a column of X's against the market here following yesterday's action. Actually gave a second consecutive buy signal following Tuesday's action and then ultimately rallied up to above that $67 level as well. So seeing some positive there after they reported an earnings beat. And from there, we also saw Southern Company SO announce that they were going to increase their dividend for a 23rd consecutive year. Saw it move back into a positive trend following Monday's action, breaking a triple top there at 73. Does bring it up to some resistance that's been in place since last summer, so a move above 74 would be a new 52-week high or potential near-term high for it there on the chart. So worth keeping an eye on SO as it is a 3-4-5 currently. As far as earnings upcoming, we do see DTE Energy reporting today. It's a 3-for-5, has maintained a positive trend since the latter part of last year, sort of traded in a range here for much of 2024, reversing up here recently to 110. Move above 116 would match prior rally highs that we saw here, and a move above 118 would mark a new 52-week high for DTE. So a few stocks we'll keep an eye on there as we see earnings beginning here. We also see reporting next week, American Electric Power, CenterPoint Energy, as well as OKE reporting also next Tuesday. And we'll be potentially back if we see further action out of utilities next week. So stay tuned.